Hello, and welcome to the Roving Social Worker Podcast. I am Jay, your roving social worker. Before I begin with the last of the three-part series, hashtag SSWPS or Shit Social Work Professionals Say, I wanted to take a few seconds and thank everyone who has been listening, visiting my website, travelmsw.com, and engaging with me on social media. I notice you, and I appreciate you. I love that our community exists here and abroad, so thank you for that. Now, on to part three of SSWPS. This is the shit we say in our profession that is toxic, splitting, and just a general pile of malarkey. The last two episodes I covered the phrases, we're in it for the outcome, not the income, the client always comes first, and I dedicated like 8 minutes to dispelling the idea that the individual is 100% responsible for the process of self-care. Now, this all relates to travel social work, from the income issues to client care to self-care. Travel social work has exposed me to these concerns on a much larger scale. I have become very aware of how little and how much social workers get paid. I have been to places where social workers manage their relationships with clients in ways that are incredibly unethical. They create dual relationships, and often it becomes safety issues for everyone. Self-care is astronomically important for a person like me who is far away from home, their relationships, their comfort, and their routines. These three topics are very much a part of being a traveler, but they also are embedded in social work. What I'm about to say will probably irritate some social workers and earn me a bit of, we'll call it feedback. That's great. You can leave your comments at travelmsw.com or just at me on Twitter, travel_MSW. So here it is. I am so tired of the worn out argument over macro versus micro, that this type of dialogue tries to posit one type of social work over another. And honestly, where the hell did the meso level go in all of this? So let me clarify before anyone gets too irritated with me. I do not believe in a hierarchy within social work. We have licensing and degree levels, yes. But I do not see any type of social work as more important or prestigious than any other. I see the social work profession as a diamond. It is this diverse, social justice-oriented vocation that has many faces. Aside from the all-around badassery that is us, we also have learned to be less static in what we do. Technology is a huge influencer on everything in our lives, and we are adapting to the needs of our countries. Or at least we are trying to instill flexibility in current social workers while teaching the up-and-coming classes and cohorts on how to integrate this rapid change. I am not ignoring trends in social work education programs either. There is sometimes the splitting of micro and macro into different concentrations or the push for more clinical focus, also known as the therapist social worker track. Please hear what I just said, placing therapist first, and then the social worker second in that. These concerns continue with if certain programs remain as is, our students, our future leaders in social work, will have gaps in their knowledge. That overall we are doing a huge disservice to everyone by trying to make social workers therapists and not really social workers. So there are many layers to this issue of micro and macro. I'm only naming a couple. Here's my personal experience. When I went to school for my MSW, first at Arizona State University, they had the PAC or the PAC program along with child welfare and generalist. When I transferred to Walden, they did not have a PAC-oriented or macro-focused concentration. I did, however, have coursework that integrated meso and macro learning within my clinical education, and I feel like it flushed it out in totality. Yes, I did study psychotherapeutic techniques in my master's, and I do work in mental health settings periodically, but hear me when I say this. I am a social worker therapist. Social worker first, therapist second. My interventions are person-centered, social justice-oriented, that work with different complementary therapeutic frameworks. I hope I haven't said anything too unreasonable, because these issues are reasons to be concerned. For our currently practicing social workers, you're in luck. We can advocate for changes in education so that we have informed practitioners joining us in the field. If we feel we have gaps in our own knowledge, we can go to trainings, participate in Twitter chats, or grab a book, or better yet, a mentor who specializes in the thing you want to know more about. Network, reach out, engage. For our current students, pick electives that will complement your degree and make it well-rounded. Learn how to write policy or grants. Learn more on how to be responsive to a community, not just individuals or small groups in therapy. And for those who find themselves in concentrations that focus more on macro-level issues, take a course on working with individuals and learn some basic communication techniques. It will help you in the field, in front of a politician, or when you help develop programs. As for listeners who are considering travel work, a traveler with a broader skill set is one who finds contracts. A traveler who blends the micro, meso, and macro to create their practice will be successful wherever they go. A traveler who is flexible and willing to adapt to their travel sites will be a traveler who gets recommendations for the next contract. So that's it. That's the third part of my rant. In my next series, I focus on social work identities. I will be interviewing social workers from all over the U.S. and Canada to find out who they are and why or how did they end up in social work. If you need more roving social worker, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter as travel_MSW. Until next time, friends and travelers, this ends today's segment of the Roving Social Worker Podcast. Travel well and keep on traveling.